Okay. I'm going to end up doing a few recordings, perhaps. Now, this is something I get passionate about. So, hopefully, I'll be able to get through this in a good amount of time. Actually, I've only got about 10 or 11 minutes for this particular recording, which is probably good. And it has to do with something that's been a bugaboo of mine for probably the last 7 or 8 years. It has to do with something that Lisa noticed. And I think I was kind of already a little down this road already. I think Lisa took a big jump because people talked about Christ's unconditional love. And it was like, wait a minute, I don't think Christ's love is unconditional. And you could hear a pin drop. You could hear people suck in their breath and say, oh my gosh, that's false doctrine. Of course Christ has unconditional love for us. And you go, I don't even think that's scriptural. Lisa found a talk by Russell M. Nelson while he was an apostle. And it's about divine love. And he took pains to tell everybody that God's love was conditional. Now, that doesn't mean that he does not love you except under some circumstances. But if you're depending upon God's love to save you because, you know, he loves me no matter what, it's like, no. He will take you as you come. People explode that into unconditional love, that he will take you as you come, but almost immediately he's going to start working on you to try and to work to help you get better. And it really is conditional upon your willingness to be worked on. Most blessings are somewhat contingent on previous work toward righteousness, previous work on striving to follow Christ. The whole principle of faith in the first place is that you have to put forth faith before you understand how it works. You have to have faith in God before God will help you see that he's there. The same concept continues through the whole thing. You will often not really feel much of God's love until you are doing what he asks, and then you start feeling his love. And as you do more to be obedient to what he wants you to do, oh my gosh, you start feeling it more and more and more. Is it conditional? Yes! It's conditional on you having done the things to bring this about. Ta-da! It's conditional. Just like a father who says, you know what, I don't think much of you. You know, when the kid's sitting there and moping around and not accomplishing anything. And your dad comes and he goes, you know what, you need to go and do something. I don't think much of you right now. You need to get out and you need to become the kind of person that is respectable. You need to become the kind of person who does this and does that. I'm sad to say that such a father these days is defined as abusive. And that's terrible. That's exactly the kind of father you need on a regular basis. One that picks you up, dusts you off, and then smacks you in the behind and says, get going. Keep going. Keep getting busy. Everybody kind of latches on to a motherly aspect of it, right? Oh, you poor soul. Oh, it's so hard. I know. Let me comfort you. Let me help you. One of the biggest problems with our society is that we have totally emasculated men. If they do become fathers, they become totally ineffectual fathers. Or we make sure that they're completely out of the picture, and the only thing that you get is basically a mother protecting her child from the world. And that is not what is needed. Not what is needed. It's okay to raise girls that way to a certain extent, but not very, very much at all. And it's terrible, terrible to raise your sons that way. Terrible. And that's not to speak out against mothers. That just says you can't have mothers being in charge of everything. Because if your mother's in charge of everything, you will not grow up. It will be very extremely difficult, if not impossible, for you to become a man. I'm sorry. You need your father in your life, period. And you may say, well, I don't like my dad because he's rough and he's gruff and he lectures me a lot, or, you know, or he spanks me in the butt when I do something wrong, and that's abusive, that's horrible. Don't listen to social workers. Oopsie, I'm sorry, I told you I was gonna get passionate. Don't spend much time listening to social workers or psychologists, especially if they're there telling you how terrible your father was. I'm not saying fathers are fantastic, but to be honest, nobody requires fantastic parents. You need parents who are trying and who care about what kind of a person you're going to become. Mothers aren't very good at that. They are about children. And if you hang around them too long, you will remain a child way too long. And your chance of breaking out and becoming a fully realized adult may never manifest. And that's fine, because women are different. They take care of younger children. Men are much more important and much more vital when children get older. When your 16-year-old son starts flying off the handle and starts getting into all kinds of crap, he does not need an understanding mother who says, oh, we just need to love him more. And you go, no, you need somebody in there that smacks that kid in the head that's bigger than they are and stronger than they are and smarter than they are, that goes in there and says, you straighten up. You straighten up. You are on the wrong path. Get off of it now. Your father should be the primary thing that stands between you and the justice system of your country. The person that basically says, if you don't do what I say, you're going to wish you went to jail. And should you be kind of afraid of your father? Yes, you should. You should be a little afraid of your father. And if you're a snot-nosed kid who thinks they know everything, you should be very afraid of your father, because he should be knocking you down a peg or two on a regular basis until you figure out that you are not all that. That's the problem with today. We spend too much time telling kids how fantastic and wonderful they are when they really aren't anything. They have not accomplished anything. A father is there to be a little skeptical of that whole situation and say, I'm still waiting to see something interesting out of you. Really am. I want to see something interesting out of you. Something, anything. I want to see it. And it's like, wow. And then you'll start seeing, you know, I was working hard to try to make sure that my father was proud of me. And you go, good, that's important. And that pride in your kids needs to come slowly. It needs to be tied to something real. A real accomplishment, you know. You ran a 4-minute mile. Oh my gosh, that is an accomplishment. Woo! And your dad needs to come and say, dude, good job. Oh my gosh, I am proud of you. That means more than 1,000 chocolate chip cookies from your mom. That means more than 1,000 hugs and 1,000 kisses from your mom. And you'll always love your mom. And you'll always go to your mom when things are going bad and say, Mom, make me feel better. And she'll do her best to try, even if she's not that great of a mom. Anyway, oh, I tell you. So, when you look at that and you think about that, I read the scriptures in particular, and I'm having to backpedal a little bit with some people because I don't know if I misinterpreted some scriptures or if I flat just forgot what it said. I even forgot the section number. Section 45 at the very end, the last couple of verses or so, talk about the way some people react to Jesus Christ. And it's totally justified. And Jesus Christ says, oh yeah, uh-huh. The two words that are used are terrible and terror. They are struck through with terror. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. And I'll come back and I'll say, see, I said, your God is not here to be all lovey-dovey, mwah, 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 you know, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm still going to love you. That's, he's merciful. He can be kind, but he's also going to kick you in the butt and tell you if you're screwing up. He's going to totally do it. And if you're being wicked, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. That should be your father. And a person that kind of, you know, that kind of represents them in a very visceral way in your life. So take your cues from Christ and from God, the Father. And don't mollycoddle your kids. They don't. You don't. Read your scriptures again if you think that isn't your God, or that isn't the God of the Bible or the Book of Mormon or the Doctrine and Covenants, because it most definitely is. And don't forget it. Don't forget it. And certainly don't brush aside those kinds of reactions. It's very, I think it's very trendy among a lot of people to put that aside. Don't, for a minute. God, if you aren't following God, God's going to get you, and it's not going to be nice. It's like your dad coming home, and your mom says, I expect you to tell your father what you are up to. It says, and he may punish you. And, you know, and you should be scared. You should be frightened as a child that your dad is going to hear about what happened. And he's going to do something to you. And you go, yes, Christ behaves that way. God behaves that way. Fathers need to behave that way. You know, and you go, well, I don't want my kids to be afraid of me. And you go, yes, you do. It says they need to know that there are lines and that they should not be crossed. God has lines that shall not be crossed, and Christ has lines that shall not be crossed. And that's all there is to it. So that's all for this one. Just a shorty to get you on to think about the whole thing of God does not have unconditional love for you. God will always acknowledge and react in a positive way to you going in a positive direction. But, you know, if you're not doing that, don't expect him to say, oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. I'll make sure nothing bad happens to you. It's like, no, that's not it at all. That's not God. That's not Christ at all. In fact, that's, you know, when people say, well, life is a test, and you go, well, yeah, it's run by Christ. And that's how Christ teaches people, is he puts them in these circumstances. And they've got to, you know, and it's to show, in tough circumstances, are you going to follow Christ? And that sounds like a father, doesn't it? More like a mother who says, I will never let anything hurt you. I will be here to take care of you all the time. And, you know, and I don't want anything bad to happen to my kids. That's why men and women often, when there's bad things going on, the women are always, honey, please don't do that to the kid. And it's like, honey, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. Get out of my way. This is, I'm not mollycoddling this kid. It's fine if you do it. That's why it's called mollycoddling, is because that's what a mother, a Molly, has a tendency to do. If all you have is a mother, yeah, you're probably not going to end up being too much. Especially your sons, but even more your daughters. So, yeah, I'm not trying to discount the fact that there's plenty of good guys that come from single moms, but it's a struggle and it's hard. It has to be made up for by a lot of things. And that mom needs to realize that she can't be those kinds of things for those kinds of people. Can't do it. Just can't. And she's going to need some help. She can't raise children by herself. They're going to turn out screwy. And the problem is, our society is so filled with such screwy people that we consider that normal, and we consider that good, and we consider somebody who was raised, you could say, an old-fashioned way, which means with a father that was trying to make their children into better people. That's considered abusive. That's considered wrong and bad. And you see more and more men getting into trouble, going to jail, being divorced and having their lives completely destroyed in this new way of doing things where the ultimate feminine rules. And that's bad. Anyway, okay, I'm going to stop now. And Philip Carthcast, and talk to you later. Bye.